This is a podcast from the children's radio station Fun Kids. Listen on DAB digital radio across the UK or online at funkidslive.com. So I'm joined down the line by actor and writer Simon Farnaby. Simon's got a brand new book out. It's called The Wizard in My Shed, The Misadventures of Merdin the Wild. Hey, Simon, how are you doing?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. I'm really good, in fact, because I finished your book and I really loved it. It was quite an adventure I went on.
Oh, great. Thanks very much. Yes, it's my first children's book and it was something that I've wanted to do for a while. And I was hoping it would be funny and quite moving at times and maybe kids would learn something just a little bit. So I'm really glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah, man. It's a pretty epic adventure. Has this been bubbling up inside you for a long time then?
Yeah, I mean, I really like these sort of stories of kids that meet sort of strange characters. A bit like E.T., I suppose. My first sort of story adventure was E.T. And I went, wow, this is, you can be friends with an alien. And I suppose it comes down to things like Paddington as well. Like, what would it be like to be friends with a bear or to have a bear live in your house? And I thought, what would it be like if a wizard lived in your house? But not a sort of Harry Potter wizard, sort of have a very old sort of ancient wizard that didn't know anything about the rules of modern society or even how a TV or a car works. So it's been bubbling away for a while. So I was really glad to put it down and get it into book form.
Now, of course, Merdin wouldn't be very happy you've called him a wizard when really, to begin with, he calls himself a warlock. That's really what he defines himself as.
I know, I shouldn't really I keep calling him a wizard. yeah, he defines himself as a warlock. He thinks wizards are very a little bit sort of soft-hearted and sort of fools. And he sees himself as a warlock who, in his head, is a much grander, much more dignified thing. Because warlocks sort of use their powers for evil, as well as good sometimes, but mainly for bad and for mischief. And he thinks that's a much better way to use your powers.
Yeah, he's got a bit more of an edge, I would say. And he pops into the current day and he meets Rose and it's just such a lovely friendship they develop.
Yeah, Rose is slightly lonely kid. She's just gone to a new school. We all know what that feels like. Her family's a bit of a mess and she wants to win this singing competition. She actually runs away from home because no one thinks she's a very good singer in her family, which she isn't really. And then she runs away from home and meets Merdin, who similarly, he's been cast out of his time, you know, from the Dark Ages. So he arrives in a sort of shopping centre and he thinks he's in purgatory. He thinks he's in hell because that's what he's been sentenced to. And so Rose and Merdin meet as both being sort of outcasts. And they do a deal where Merdin says, if you help me get home back to my time, I'll give you a singing spell and you'll be the best singer in the world. And so they strike a deal and this unlikely friendship starts.
And yeah, they help each other in their lives to become who they're meant to be.
Yeah, I mean, Rose sort of questions Merdin's warlock approach, you know, and she says, well, how about if you use your powers for good? And at first he's like, no, that's a ridiculous idea. And as well, Merdin helps Rose to see, I think, what she really wants to be, you know, and he sort of helps us just to look a little deeper and see what she really wants to do with her life, because it's quite hard to discover what you want to do with your life. I never knew when I was a kid. Sometimes I still don't know.
And you kind of tie in the past and the present. You also get to write in kind of ye oldie fashion. Was that quite fun as well?
Yeah, well, I think they would have spoken very differently, you know, in those days. And I think often we did on Horrible Histories, actually. We would be from sort of the Dark Ages, but talk like we were bank managers. and that was sort of the joke. But I did want to do for him to speak like they did in the old days and for people to find it quite confusing. So he says things like, you know, thou stinketh and all this sort of stuff. And there's a few words as well that I translate, a few, not swear words, but insults that he uses. And I explain what they are and what they used to mean, which was good fun doing research on those, actually.
I was going to ask, because I've made a little list of my favourites. I think my favourite was Ninny Hammer. What was your favourite in the book?
Oh, a Ninny Hammer's good, yeah. Well, everyone knows a ninny, I think. It's quite an old-fashioned word, but a ninny is just sort of an idiot. And a Ninny Hammer was a complete idiot. I like a Fop Doodle, actually. Fop Doodle was a sort of lazy person, probably from the word foppish, which is sort of slightly limp or sort of, you know, not strong. And doodle as a sort of half-hearted drawing. And so fop doodle is great. And there is a school of thought that says that the Americanism dude, you know, hey dude, comes from fop doodle, because it sort of meant a very relaxed person, you know. So it became sort of not so much an insult and more like a, hey, you're a dude as well, you know, you're laid back like me.
Yeah, it's I'm glad you said that, because that was the second word on my list, so we are of similar mind. I really enjoyed reading the book because, of course, you get to learn more words, but it felt very filmic. It felt like I was watching a film, reading this book. I got really immersed in it. I could really, really imagine it. Was it, do you reckon it's, is it easier or harder to write a book when you've written TV shows and stuff before?
It's strange. Yeah, I've spoken to a few other writers about this. It's a very, in a way, it's quite similar in that story is, you know, you meet some characters and they go on a journey, and there's a sort of middle bit, and then there's a bit that's quite sad, and then usually it's a sort of happy ending. So it's a similar shape. And I actually wrote the chapters. When you do film or TV, you have to structure everything. You have to know exactly what's going where, and like all the work really is in that structuring and laying the story out. In beats, we call them. And some novelists, I know, I heard Enid Blyton, who did things like The Faraway Tree and The Famous Five, just had an idea and just started writing and just stopped at the end, which I find incredible. Like so that's the difference probably being a TV and film writer, is I have to have it very well structured. And for me, that means you can get things that pay off, like little things that people are lacking in the beginning, they get in the end. And I think unless you plan that all out, like a few people have said, the storylines all, there's quite a few storylines going and they all wrap up quite well at the end. And I think that's probably from my film structure learning. So, but it's fun. It's really great fun to do, but because you don't have to rely on anybody else is the key difference between... When you write a film script, you hand it over to the director and the cinematographer and the makeup and the costume people. Whereas a book, you just describe all that and you can do without them.
Of course, you can get rid of everybody else. This is your world.
Well, you play the film plays in people's heads, and that's the way I sort of describe it to people. And I'm glad that you felt it was filmic, because what I want to do is just to describe. It's like describing images or describing a film so that someone can play it in their head and visualize it is what I wanted to do. And people seem to be able to do that. They seem to be able to. And that was something I had to learn, was to really describe in detail what people looked like. Because in film, you don't have to do that, because you go, well, you'll get Hugh Grant.
You'll see him, it's fine.
Hugh Grant. Whereas you have to sort of describe it.
If this is made into TV or film and you do not play Murden, I will be furious, by the way, because it would make perfect sense.
Right, well, that's very kind of you. Yeah, I mean, it is sort of... It is my sort of thing that I like to do. I did a character called Nagatus in a thing called Yonderland, which was, again, with a Horrible Histories gang, and he's pretty similar in some ways. to Murden, so we shall see.
Well, if it happens, I will expect you to be there. I also have to ask, most importantly, do you love grass? Because grass is mentioned a lot in this book.
I do love grass, actually. Funnily enough, I hadn't quite worked this out yet. My dad was a landscape gardener, or is still a landscape gardener. He's sort of semi-retired now, and he grew grass, so his life was grass, and he would sell turf, so he'd grow grass and then sell it, and we had different types of grass. So we had meadow grass and then like nicer grass for like golf courses, and so I've only just sort of realized this. my dad sent me a picture of holding the book last night, and I thought, oh, he said, I like all the mention of grasses. I remember he had a book in his office called No Need to Weed, and it was all about how weeds weren't your enemy, that you could work with them. And there's lots of weeds in the book, and there's great, had great fun in looking at how people used to, you know, things like bearded darnel and foxglove, which you see everywhere. They're on the, you know, they're out by the bins on the street, you know. But they used to be seen as having magical properties, and in fact do have, you know, strange properties if you sort of boil them or mix them up or do, you know, strange things to them. And so I wanted to say, you know, now we're in a world where we need to take care of nature, and just to say that it's not just the big things, it's the small things as well, you know, that make a difference.
I loved it, just that being connected to nature. I also love any book that rhymes, so it sounds like your dad had a great book there. Big fan of that.
Well, again, yes, because I do use rhymes. I like little poems, the start and end, the chapters. That connection. Well, I've only just made it now. No need to weed. There you go. It was all there, aged 7 or whenever I first saw that book.
It was meant to be. So every author who comes to Fun Kids, I do a little quick fire round of questions with them. I wondered if it's okay to do that with you right now.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
No pressure, don't worry. It's not like a right or wrong answer. It's
all
fine.
Right. Just
who you are as a person, as an author. First up is super easy. Books or Kindles?
Books.
Yeah, everyone says it. Heroes or villains?
Oh. Villains.
Okay, film adaptation or TV adaptation?
Oh, film adaptation.
Oh, that was very quick. Horrible histories or ghosts? Sorry, that's just for you. I don't ask everybody that.
Ghosts.
Oh, okay.
It's easier. Costume changes, not as many costume changes.
Writing or reading?
Writing.
Hogwarts or Narnia?
Oh, Hogwarts.
Pendulous Sedge or Bearded Darnell? Darnell.
Bearded Darnell.
Do you write 9 to 5 or do you write whenever you fancy?
Whenever I can.
Okay.
So it's whenever I can fit it in.
Now, I do ask everyone this, but it might be more relevant to you. Paddington Bear or Winnie the Pooh?
Paddington Bear.
Yeah, I mean, if you'd said Winnie, I would have been quite surprised.
Yeah.
And finally, the big one, this is the most important of all. Salt and vinegar or cheese and onion?
Salt and vinegar.
Yes! That's the only one I care about. Yes, thank you.
Cheese and onion's too fragrant, it's too... Oh, it's too
smelly.
Overpowering.
It's whiffy. Well, you said the correct answer for salt and vinegar, so that is great for you because it means I can tell everybody to go and grab the wizard in my shed. So that was a podcast from the children's radio station Fun Kids. Listen on DAB Digital Radio across the UK or online at funkidslive.com.